You're about to hear a special program entitled Years of Our Faith, featuring Basil O'Connor, president of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, and Jane Wyman, distinguished young motion picture star. You'll meet first Mr. O'Connor in this tribute to the American people, dedicated to the 1954 March of Dimes. Mr. O'Connor.
This is January 1954. This is the first of 12 new months of measured time. Each month will bring us a variety of days. Each will come to us with a distinctive personality of season and weather. With each, we will receive a daily rising of the sun. With each, we can count on a full moon. This we know. We are given the time. What to do with it is up to each man and woman according to the pattern of his or her character. And this is the first of our gift of months. Are you still writing 1953 in the time-honored right-hand corner of check, of thank you note, of business letter? It takes a little time for a year's habit to change, doesn't it, to move from 3 to 4? But at your National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, we had a tendency to write 1954 as early as October 1953. For minds, hearts, and even fountain pens, strained to hurry into this year, the crucial year of the fight against polio, the year of decision, the year we sincerely hope may end as your year of glory, your year of victory in a 16-year battle with a disabling epidemic disease. The polio fighting, the polio prevention program, the entire great goal for 1954 had to be planned long before 1953 became history. Almost every month of 1953, we move closer to the ultimate goal of your National Foundation. And in the golden month of October 1953, we told you that great vaccine trials would take place this year, that 500,000 American children, perhaps twice that many, might be given a vaccine against polio in the greatest mass medical trials ever undertaken in the history of medicine. Even as we knew this, our minds, our hearts, our fountain pens had the tendency of all who anticipate to go forward into time. And now that time we have wished for, worked for, is almost here. Soon, yes, very soon, young, strong, childish arms will be stretched out, will be held with gentleness by the knowing hands of nurses, and will be given what we hope will be the gift of polio immunity by the skilled and trained hand of doctors. And your hand will hold every child's, will rest with faith on the hand of every doctor, because your hand is the hand which gave to the March of Dimes. Even as it begins, 1954 has already won a golden entry on that page of history dedicated to man's humanity to man. And your generosity in this fight to save your children will guide your giving, will inspire you to give and give again to make possible and successful the great 1954 polio fighting program. You have all been in the march of the March of Dimes for many years. Some of you right from the very beginning. January after January, your ranks have swelled as more and more of you indicated your faith in your National Foundation, your faith in the men and women who are trying to remove forever the shadow of the visible crippler from wherever your child plays and learns and grows. Whatever your personal goal in life has been and is, I know that helping to protect your child and all children from the tragedy of infantile paralysis has been part of that goal. For no man can live as a man without a part of his heart and mind given to the dream of doing some good in the world during his stay here. This we all believe. This you have proved in the past. This you will prove again this very month, as you join the 1954 March of Dimes to help your National Foundation go forward with all its plans. We know that gamma globulin, a fraction of human blood, gives temporary protection against paralytic polio. You know, it cost $1 million in March of Dimes to make this great discovery and to prove its worth. It cost millions more to supply its protection last year. And it will cost us almost $20 million this year to provide gamma globulin, this great stopgap weapon in our fight to the finish. Yes, we must use gamma globulin, even as we try the vaccine in our plans to banish infantile paralysis forever. Well, we are going to test the vaccine. We are going to test the vaccine because we hope it may be the answer to paralytic polio. And now I want you to meet Miss Jane Wyman, distinguished young Motion Picture Academy Award winner. She will tell you the story of a personal victory over infantile paralysis. Miss Jane Wyman.
This is a true story. It's a story of love, a marriage, and a tragedy. It's a story in which fear lived like an evil thing for a long time in the home of Dr. and Mrs. Frederick Cummings. It's a story in which faith came too, a later visitor than fear, and this is how it happened. In Seattle, Washington, in 1948, Fred and Shirley Cummings were living in happiness. They adored their little daughter, Carolyn, not quite two. They took charming pride in their little house. They enjoyed their friends. And Fred had just been made a junior partner in one of the largest veterinary hospitals in Seattle. And then it came, the tragedy. It came slowly on a bright November day. It came to Fred Cummings in the guise of a slight illness, a headache, a sore throat, a backache. But the headache wasn't the kind that went away. Within 3 days came a stiffness to his neck and his back and his legs. And when the doctor came, he was the second visitor of the day. The first had come before him. Tragedy was already there. Diagnosis? Infantile paralysis. Fred Cummings was taken to the hospital completely paralyzed. Shirley doesn't remember what she thought about those first few days. Fear had frozen her mind. She fed the baby and listened to the doctor's voice come through from somewhere. He has one chance in 1,000 to live. She went about her daily household tasks, not believing that this had happened to them. And time after time, she tried to realize that even if he should live, her Fred, he'd always be completely paralyzed. She couldn't comprehend it. Paralyzed. Forever. Shirley knew that Fred was away somewhere in the deep, dark well of pain, somewhere in an iron lung, that steel prison that keeps on breathing for man when man fails to breathe for himself. Fred says now he has very little memory of what happened, that only fragments remain, the desperate attempt to breathe, and then he couldn't, and the panic that filled him, the desperate attempt to move, and not a muscle responding to the wish. On Thanksgiving Day, 3 weeks after Fred was taken to the hospital, the crises came. Fred blacked out 3 times, and everybody gave up hope. Everybody except Shirley. It was on this day that she comprehended their tragedy and knew, whatever the obstacles, the Cummings would overcome them. Faith had come, at long last, and banished the fear. She knew they were saved. Doctors waited through the long watches of the night. When the next day Fred was still alive, they performed a tracheotomy on him. The surgical opening in his windpipe began to let in air more easily. He came out of his blackout. Sometime during that night, thought and words came to him for the first time in those 3 weeks. They were, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And the next morning, Fred asked the nurse to call Shirley. "Tell her not to worry," he said. "Tell her I'm all right now." When Shirley heard the news, she replied, "Yes, I already know. Thank you for calling." Fred thought of Shirley and the baby. Who was taking care of them? Who was taking care of him, paying for the iron lung, the hospital? What was going to happen to them? Despair filled him as he lay helpless in his iron lung, his prison. When he was stronger, he asked questions. He learned about the staggering costs. Medical, hospital, and special nursing were not his burden. He discovered these bills were being paid by his local county chapter of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. This great gift that people he didn't know should do so much for him strengthened his new faith, and slowly he began to come back to life. When Shirley asked about freeing Fred from the iron lung, doctors shook their heads, but she was determined to find a way. Exactly 1 year after he had entered the hospital, she brought Fred home, iron lung and all. Even after the doctors believed Fred was ready to be moved from his iron lung, there was Fred's personal fear to overcome. He had to be assured over and over again that the strange plastic bubble, the portable chest respirator, could also do his breathing, would also do his breathing, if he gave it a chance. Just for a few minutes each day, and it was Fred Cummings' first step to freedom, though he could not move a toe, when he finally tested the chest respirator and found it kept him alive. As the months passed, the minutes he was able to spend in the chest respirator instead of the iron lung increased to hours, and the fear disappeared. And one warm June night, while in his chest respirator, Fred said to Shirley, "I'm sick and tired of that iron lung. I'm not going back anymore." That's when Faith became a member of the Cummings family. The iron lung was sent on to another errand of mercy. And today, Fred is on his own for 2 hours a day without even the chest respirator. Fred Cummings has recovered physically as much as he can, but he's still paralyzed below the neck. But there's more to this true story. Remember that before this happened to him, Dr. Frederick Cummings was a veterinarian. Today, he has an office in his home. Assistants carry out his orders, and a partner handles the surgical and technical procedures. He's once again a practicing veterinarian and completely self-supporting. As for Shirley, does she count the hours of her life dedicated to her husband's welfare? The hours spent in operating the automatic lift which really hoists Fred in and out of bed? Does she count the hours she spends being her husband's hands, his fingers, as she turns the pages of his medical books? No. No, because she doesn't have the time to count the hours, and because her love is as strong as her faith. And even more than Fred, since it isn't easy for him to get around, Shirley Cummings tells her world about the National Foundation, about the March of Dimes, about what you have done for Fred. Fred puts it this way: "The March of Dimes has spent almost $50,000 to keep me alive and give me a fuller life. What Shirley and I have done is little in comparison. This gift must not be given in vain." Of herself, of how she banished tragedy and fear from their home, Shirley says, "We do not feel that this is anything special, but only something we were forced to do of necessity. Aren't you proud that you helped people with the courage of the Cummings? For it was you who provided the $50,000. Not every case of infantile paralysis costs that much in care and treatment, of course, but that's how much this disease can cost. That's why our National Foundation of Infantile Paralysis pledges that every polio patient, regardless of age, race, creed, or color, shall get all the help needed to make the best possible recovery. Today, we're hoping soon to have a vaccine to prevent this disease. But March of Dimes funds must and will go on helping every victim in need of help. And there are about 66,000 such sufferers right now. This merciful aid will continue, even after polio victory through vaccine, for as long as a single child or adult requires continued treatment. That's the American way. So in this crucial year, give once to the March of Dimes to continue such help, and give again for the bright new hope for polio prevention. Please, today, join the 1954 March of Dimes.
This is Jimmy Blaine. You've just heard Mr. Basil O'Connor, president of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, and Miss Jane Wyman, celebrated young motion picture star in Years of Our Faith, a special transcribed program brought to you as a public service by this station in honor of the 1954 March of Dimes. This year's fight against infantile paralysis is on a scale so great it was undreamed of in the year of the founding of your National Foundation only 16 years ago. The victory over polio, your child's constant enemy, cannot be won without your weapons on the field of battle. Your dimes, your dollars, these are needed as never before in this Give More 1954 March of Dimes. Send your dimes and dollars to your local March of Dimes headquarters. Join today.